Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? How can I take these Gospels and be a light in the darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us. Oh, we got a good one. But before we get into it, it is time for viewer mail. Our first letter coming from Carolyn and John from Charlotte, North Carolina. Dear Father Chapin, what a blessing it is to share Sunday mornings with you when we view daily living. Even though we live in Charlotte, North Carolina, we feel that we are right there with you as you share the gospel with us. Well, Carolyn, I got great news for you today, because guess what? Daily Living is now on TV in Charlotte. WMYT. I know it's 6:30 on Sunday morning. It's real early, but maybe you can tape it. We feel that we are right there with you. Okay, you definitely break it down and make the word relatable. And, well, we're so delighted and blessed that we can have our Sunday visit. We look forward to viewing you for years to come. Carolyn and John, thank you. Thank you very much. Our next letter coming from Judy from Montgomery, Illinois. Dear Father Chapin, you truly manage to hit all the buttons. I watch your show, hear your words, love your smile. Sometimes I laugh, sometimes I cry. Of course, if I'm not near a pen and paper, I write long letters in my head, praising your hard work, your brother David, your sister Kathleen. My sister Kathleen helps, well, she pays for my website. And of course, my brother David and I, we write the show together. And, well, you should be happy that I'm limiting myself to only this card so that I don't have too much space to try your patience. I viewed The Crash recently. That's a video that's on the website that documents the accident that I had about 18 months ago. And sweet Jesus, your eyebrow is and shall be and will remain the least of your problem. And that is true. Your recovery is a real, real miracle. And, well, you've managed to do it without the well-deserved pity party. What a guy. Thank you. I am the spiritual leper, the doubting Thomas, the Mary Magdalene, but let's not go there. I got a guy that loves me anyway. Thank you for bringing us the word. Judy from Montgomery. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good letter. What do you say? We quiet our mind. Well, we got time for one more. One more. Father Chapin. We very much enjoy your presentation of the word. Well, enjoy is probably not the best word. Maybe we understand the word much better because of your teachings. On more than one occasion, we have shared the written text with other Christians, and they were blessed. Yes, if you choose to support this ministry and you provide an email address, we will email you a script of the show prior to its broadcast. So you'll have it to read. What do you say? We quiet our minds and put ourselves in the presence of the Lord. God's got a message for you, my friend. Are you ready to hear it? We are going to school. Are you ready to be the student on that day? As evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, he took Jesus with him in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up and the waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you so terrified? Do you not yet have faith? They were filled with great awe and said to one another, who then is this whom even the wind and the sea obey? The gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is, my friend. This is a deep pool. Oh, it's going to be good. Grab the kids. This is Daily Living on Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we got a gospel. Oh, I love this gospel. I mean, hard to say what your favorite gospel is. I mean, woman at the well comes to mind. Good Samaritan. Prodigal son. Everybody loves the prodigal son. But I got to say, storm at sea, this is big. And it's universal. It's the fourth chapter of Mark, if you're following along at home. So let's set the table with a bit of context, because I know we talk about this all the time, but reading scripture without context is exactly that, words with no context, which means words with no meaning, or even worse, words which can say whatever you want them to say. And of course, we don't want to do that around here, so let's go. Where are we? Well, we're in the Gospel of Mark, like I said. And Mark begins this chapter, or actually Mark begins his gospel, with an impossible statement. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I mean, that's where he starts. I mean, Matthew and Luke kind of work up to it, but much like the gospel of John, this is where Mark begins. This is his premise. Jesus is the Son of God. How can we believe that? Well, welcome to our context, because that's what this is. Because from here on out, Mark is setting out to prove that statement. And today, we're in the fourth chapter of his effort. The fourth chapter of this gospel opens up with Jesus teaching a large crowd by the sea. And as was his habit, he gets into a boat, pushes offshore just a little bit, turns around, faces the crowd, talks to them, teaches them. And we talked about this last week. In doing so, he is accomplishing two things. Number one, he's creating a separation between himself and the crowd so that people can see him. And secondly, water provides a natural amplification, so now people can hear him. This is why Jesus teaches from boats. Now, we can assume that he is standing at the Sea of Galilee, which I must say, on my trip to Israel, which was about 2 years ago, the Sea of Galilee was the highlight of the trip. We had a chance to get on a boat and float out into the lake for a little bit. And at one point, they stopped the engines and we floated in silence. And the boat began to slowly spin. And you know that golden hour, we've talked about this before, you know, that late afternoon light, that kind of amber golden hue, that light coming off the Jordanian mountains. I mean, it was breathtaking. The Sea of Galilee, also known as Lake Genesaret, is the lowest freshwater lake in the world, 682 feet below sea level. And it's known for its layers of water because they create the perfect environment for algae, which, of course, produces an abundance of fish. Now, these mountains, the Jordanian mountains, rise from about 3,000 all the way to 10,000 feet around the lake. So the whole thing sits in a bowl. And this lake is fed by a spring miles away on the top of Mount Hermon, which is 10,000 feet. So the River Jordan feeds the lake with snowmelt, making these waters incredibly pure. Now, this unique topography of high mountains surrounding a low body of water creates an unusual weather pattern, particularly in the winter, because when that cold air rushes down those mountains and hits the warmer waters, it can kick up a tempest like that. I mean, just in a matter of minutes, bringing to mind that old saying, tempest in a teacup. The locals call these boomers. It can be a sunny day without a cloud in the sky 1 minute, and then all of a sudden you're in the middle of a huge storm, which is kind of how life is, really. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus just as he was. So let's look at this. I guess the first thing that jumps out, at least to me, is when Jesus says to his disciples, which, by the way, if you call yourself a Christian, is you, "Let us cross to the other side." I mean, I know he's talking about a lake here, but can't you see metaphorically, Jesus is the captain of our boat as we journey on the other side of this life? Because guess what? There is another side to this life. But getting back to our gospel, we have Jesus teaching from the boat, probably been teaching all day. And now the day is coming to an end and it's drawing to a close. And so Jesus is loading up his disciples to head across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. Now, we know that many of these disciples are, in fact, professional fishermen. So we can assume that they probably own the boat. And I imagine they grew up on this lake, probably made this crossing thousands of times. These were familiar waters. And a violent squall comes up, and the waves are breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Now, like I said, I went to Israel about 2 years ago, and I stood on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But years before I even went, I read this article in National Geographic, and it talked about how two teenage brothers from a local, is it kibbutz, I think is how you say it? They were walking on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and evidently Israel was experiencing a severe drought at the time, so it had been many, many months without much rain. And so the water level was super low, exposing shoreline that was usually covered with water. And as they walked along, they saw this wooden beam sticking out of the mud. And it turned out to be a first century fishing boat, perfectly preserved because it was encased in mud for 2,000 years. It was so fragile, they couldn't even move it. So they built a museum around it. So we know what the boat looks like. I mean, maybe it's not the boat that Jesus was actually in, but we know what a first century fishing boat looks like. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's about 26 feet long, about 14 feet wide. But the gunwales, you know, the sides of the boats, they slope way down low to the water, maybe about 4 feet, which is a good thing, you know, when you're hauling up fish, but a really bad thing if you're in the middle of a 10-foot wave, right? So they're terrified because this is not a storm, my friend. This is a mega storm. In fact, the Greek word that is used to describe the storm is megale, which is where we get the word mega or massive. So in the middle of all of this, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat, which has always just confused me. Really? He's sleeping? I mean, how is that possible? This is a mega storm. We're talking 10-foot waves. The boat is sinking and he's sleeping. But isn't that sometimes how it feels when you find yourself in the middle of a storm? I mean, we can read all about this in the Psalter, you know, the Psalms. Those are the poems that are in the middle of your Bible. "Why, Lord, do you stand afar and pay not heed in times of trouble? Awake, why do you sleep? Rise up, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why forget our pain and misery?" Meanwhile, Jesus sleeps. And I don't know for sure, probably wrong, but I think this is the only time I know of in all the Gospels that we have a direct reference to Jesus sleeping. And it's kind of interesting, ironic, that it would happen to be in the middle of a violent storm. I'm just saying. So they wake him and they say to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So let's talk about storms for a moment. First of all, if you live long enough, you're going to experience storms in this life. It's just part of the deal. And much like the storms of the Sea of Galilee, they often come without warning, very suddenly. Every sailor knows that there is no such thing as a stormless sea. One moment all is well, and then the barometer drops, and then all is hell. And of course, life brings many different kinds of storms. Financial storms, marital storms, health storms, rebellious children storms, squalls of sorrow. Then, of course, there's the storms that we create, the storms of disobedience. The book of Jonah is an excellent example. Often we create our own storms in the rebellious roads that we take, the choices that we make. But interestingly enough, God will often use the storms of disobedience that we create to draw us closer to Him. Now, another thing about storms is that when you're in one, you're out of control. You don't have control because the powers of your storm are greater than you. I'm convinced that some storms are demonic in nature. They divide and create hate. These are Satan's playground. And there's a whole lot of those storms blowing around these days. Now, another thing about storms in general is that when you find yourself in the middle of a storm, your vision is blurred. Because you see, when we're in a storm, all we can see is the spray and the darkness all around us. And we become hyper-focused on our storm. And in doing so, we become hyper-focused on ourselves. It's all we can think about. It's all we can talk about. It becomes all-consuming. You know how it goes. We earn a PhD in our problem, thinking about it from every kind of angle. Let's be honest. When you hear storm at sea, what do you think about? You think about the storm that I am going through. Meanwhile, we don't even notice the storms that are all around us. Because guess what? They are the storms in other people's lives. Yet our vision is so blurred by our own circumstance. We might notice from afar, maybe even have a little bit of sympathy, but for the most part, and I think most people would agree, that when you're in the middle of the storm, even if there's other people in your boat, you feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel abandoned, which really sounds like a perfect description of our world today. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Not just for the break, we have the disciples. They're in the middle of a storm. Jesus is in the back of the boat. He's sleeping. So they wake him up. And he wakes up, rebukes the wind, and says to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceases, and there's a great calm. So they wake him up, and he stands up, and he says, "Shh." and everything goes calm. I'm talking the sea becomes glass. And it's interesting to look at their reaction because they're terrified. Now, I understand why they're terrified during the storm, but now they're terrified during the calm. Or as Mark puts it, they're filled with great awe. That word awe is defined as a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. And let me just tell you, my friends, our world has lost its fear of God. We have created a comfortable, benevolent God, a kind, a giving, a loving God, kind of our good luck charm in the sky. And I don't want to beat up on Santa Claus, okay? But we've made God our Santa Claus. You know, he knows if we've been bad or good. And if we've been good, he'll listen to our list. He will calm every storm and get us to heaven someday if we're good enough. But we don't fear him, which is ironic given his power. I mean, consider for a moment a black hole. I mean, when you really think about what a black hole is and what it does, it's got to be the scariest thing in the universe. A black hole destroys absolutely everything it comes in contact with. It literally eats galaxies for lunch. It will rip them up so violently that it even shreds the molecules that they're made of. I mean, if you're in a spaceship and you happen to come into the gravitational pull of a black hole, it would suck you in, stretch you out over 1,000 miles as it ripped you apart. I mean, they're terrifying. This is something that we should fear. We would fear a black hole, but we don't fear what created it. I mean, imagine if God was to pull back the sky and say, I am who am. Okay, well then I guess we might find ourselves in the presence of a fear that is beyond description. I imagine we might fall on our face in horror in the presence of that kind of power. But our God chooses to remain a hidden God. And consequently, many of us, we don't fear him. We don't fear God. But in our gospel today, Jesus is making that power known. And as a result, the disciples know that they're in the presence of divinity, and they're terrified. In Genesis, we see the voice of God speak the winds and the sea into existence. Now, here on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, that same wind, those same seas, recognize that voice as Jesus says, shh, quiet, be still. The Creator's voice is recognized, and the sea goes calm because all that power resides in Jesus. He is the vine, the source of all that power. And as we go through the storms of this life, we, very much like the disciples, want Jesus to calm our storms. I mean, let's be honest. That's how most of us look at this gospel, Storm at Sea. But I fear in doing so, we're kind of missing the point, because I can assure you that this gospel is a whole lot more than the fact that Jesus can control the weather. I mean, this story is really much more about how little we believe that God is actually with us in the middle of our storm. It's really more about the lack of our collective faith in the storm. So the miracle is not necessarily that Jesus calms the storm, but rather the true miracle of the story is that Jesus is with us and with his disciples. As I said, if you call yourself a Christian, that's you. He's in the same terrible storm. Why? Because Emmanuel means God is with us. Because while God might not calm all of your storms, he is walking through those storms with you. And so when Jesus looks at his disciples and says, why are you so terrified? Do you not yet have faith? That's what he's talking about. Do you not believe that I'm with you no matter what? Do you not believe that I'm with you even to the end of the age? Do you not know that I walk with you through the storms of this life, regardless of the outcome? Do you not know that? I mean, that is the deeper meaning, my friend. The real miracle here is that the same Creator who created black holes came to us through a man, and his name is Jesus, to walk with us through the storms of this life and lead us to the other side. Because hear me when I say, storms will come. And the waves might be big. And your boat might be small as you are tossed to and fro. But hear me when I say that not only is Jesus aware of your storm, He's in your boat. You know, I received a letter just the other day, and it came while I was working on this show. And it came from a viewer from Dundalk, Maryland. Her name is Lori. I call her Sister Lori because she calls me Brother Chapin. So Sister Lori, she's special. She writes me all the time, and she's a sister in the Lord. Because she always includes in her letters, you know, different clippings with different kinds of quotes from scripture or different stories. And she always will tape a quote to the back of her envelope. So like I said, I received a letter this week as I'm working on the show. And I turned to look at the back of the envelope as I always do. And it read, "Lifeline, may Jesus be the captain of your salvation, the anchor of your soul, as you journey through the storms of life on your way to the other side." Well, thank you, Sister Lori. I don't think I could have said it any better. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you, because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.